Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Here with me, as always, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
So, have you been following the news at all this last week? They're talking about the new documentary on the Discovery Channel that's been directed by James Cameron, where they claim to have found Christ's burial ground. They found a set of ossuaries, which are like rock boxes that they used to put your bodily remains in and then bury them in like a family crypt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's on tonight. I haven't had a chance to watch it. I TiVo'd it so we can check it out later, but I guess they found what they believe to be Jesus' remains. And the reason they believe this is because the statistics for finding the names that they found in this crypt
mm-hmm.
are astronomical. I guess they found a Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
They found two Marys, which they're assuming is the Virgin Mary and Mary Magdalene, who they also believe now is the wife of Jesus. They found Jesus and I believe a son that they're claiming Jesus had. Kind of crazy stuff. I mean, it was a couple years back, there was that finding where they found the ossuary that had what they believed to be James,
mm-hmm.
who was purportedly the brother of Jesus. That's a lot of pressure, huh?
Yeah, no.
Why aren't you more like your brother?
He's the loser brother who just kind of hangs out at home.
He's the son of God, Mom. Come on.
You can't hold me to that standard. It's no fair. Just because I didn't.
Your brother made wine and water, or wine and bread for the party. What'd you do? I blew up the balloons. Oh, God. Yeah, well, it's crazy. So I guess Cameron's under a lot of heat for this, you know.
Well, and the reason he's under a lot of heat is because there was a news story that came out about a week ago saying that although there are a lot of coincidences with the names mm-hmm. on these particular ossuaries, there was, what was it, a 10 or 20% chance that it would even be the actual remains of Joseph, Mary, Jesus, and what ended up being. Isn't it supposed to be Jesus and Mary's son or something like
that?
Yeah,
I think that's what they said they found in there. So.
And that this was actually found 25 years ago, this actual site, and that Cameron just went over the evidence again. And a lot of experts are saying, well, this is all rehashed. We already debunked this. And I guess they did some DNA testing on some of the remains, but not all of the remains.
Well, so. How do you DNA test on somebody you don't know where their lineage went?
Well, what you do is you compare DNA
samples.
If
the DNA has
from,
got little halos?
No.
You've got Jesus stuff.
No. What they do is they take the remains of Joseph and then the remains of Jesus, and then they compare the two to see if there's similar DNA to link them. And they said that there was no similar DNA between either Mary or Jesus or Joseph and Jesus.
Right. Well, I thought they said that the only usable DNA they were able to find was in the Jesus ossuary, and they found what they believed to be two bodies in Jesus's. So, you know, I'm wondering if maybe they're just, because after all these years, I mean, 2,000 years, how could there be usable DNA?
Well, you'd be surprised. Yeah. You'd be surprised. There is a way to use even just, if it's not, you know,
right?
I suppose if it's not carboned up enough, there's even a hint of bone that you can use there.
I was hoping maybe it was like a Punk'd episode with Ashton Kutcher and James Cameron to go in and find the ossuary that says Jesus on it, and as it approached it, it would start thumping and jumping, and you'd hear, "Help me, let me out inside." No dice. Well, I just wanted to mention that. I thought that was pretty interesting, and have been following up on that. So, you know, maybe we'll take a look at it. I did put a call out to the producers and a couple of people to see if we can have them on the show to discuss a little bit more about it. Is it paranormal? I don't know. I think it's pretty interesting, though. I mean, you know, the debate whether Jesus Christ was Son of Man or Son of God has been going on for 2,000 years. And, you know, I'd just like a little bit more light shed on this. And the one of the directors I spoke to on, I think it was CNN, I think Anderson Cooper had him on, you know, he's pretty elusive, and they were trying to get him pinned down to the fact that he would say that this is Jesus' remains. And he said, listen, I'm a documentarian. I'm a newsman. It's my job to deliver this to you. You decide what it is. You know, I'm just telling you that this is what's been told us. The statisticians told us that the chances of this gravesite having these names in here all together, it was like 600,000 to one or some crazy number that would lead you to believe that there's, you know, a pretty good chance. However, what I thought was interesting when they did the James, brother of Jesus, ossuary that they found supposedly a few years back, the one thing that really kind of blew me away was, I guess Jesus was a popular name.
It was.
Back then. It wasn't just...
That's what the skeptics say, is that the fact that you have Joseph, Jesus, Mary, and James there isn't unusual. They were very common names at the time.
Right. But the fact that the ossuary had "Made in China" written on the bottom, should that have been a clue?
Yeah, that blew it wide open.
Yeah, I think that's the main problem.
And a fortune cookie on the inside with a half-read fortune. So, yeah, who knew?
There was a couple of Happy Meal toys, too, wasn't there?
Yeah.
For those of you that are tuning in, you're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We thank you very much for joining us here each Sunday night. And as always, we're going to bring you some fascinating guests. Tonight, we're going to be talking about reincarnation, and we've got two different guests we're going to be spending time with. For the first hour, we have Denise Lynn. The second hour is J. Allen Danilek, and he'll be joining us as well. Would like to discuss that with you. I also want to mention that if you are interested in the paranormal retreats that we're doing, we've got some great trips coming up that are going to the Eastern State Penitentiary in June. We've got a return to the Queen Mary in December. The Eastern State Penitentiary trip is almost sold out. So if you're sitting on the fence wondering if you should sign up, jump now, because I don't think the tickets are going to be around for another couple of weeks. And then, of course, we have the expansion trip to the Stanley Hotel, which is coming up April 1st through April 4th with Jay Grant from the Ghost Hunters, of course, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns. We've got John Zaffis, Adam Blaggett, a great list of people, a great lineup of talks. We even have Russ Clark, the hypnotist, will be there, and he'll be offering hypnosis sessions on how to develop your ESP and open up your third eye, developing that sixth sense, if you will. And he'll also be doing one for people looking to lose weight and quit smoking. So a lot of really good things that will be going on in the event. I hope you'll check it out. Check out our website at darknessevents.com. And we'll start off with this evening's guest. First hour we have here is Denise Lynn. And Denise has been called America's best-kept secret. So I guess they found her in one of the ossuaries as well.
I think so, next to the fortune cookie.
Yes, and we've brought her in. For the last 3.5 decades, she's traveled to the five corners of the world speaking to standing-room-only audiences. Her spiritual journey began as a teenager when she had a near-death experience after being shot by an unknown gunman. The revelation she received on the other side and the subsequent amazing healing of her wounds led Denise to eventually become an internationally acclaimed healer, writer, and a teacher. Denise has led group past life regressions around the world and is the only person to have successfully regressed 1,000 people at once. Denise has taught seminars in 24 countries and has written 15 books, including Past Life, Present Dreams, 4X of Personal Power, The Soul Loves the Truth, and If I Can Forgive, So Can You. Her books have been translated into 26 languages, and she's been featured on Oprah, Lifetime, Discovery Channel, BBC TV, NBC, CBS. Additionally, she has a radio show on Hay House Radio and is also the founder of the International Institute of Soul Coaching. You can check out more about Denise by checking out her website. You can go to our website and click on the link, or on her picture, it'll take you directly to her website at DeniseLynn.com. And good evening and welcome to the show, Denise.
Thank you.
Thought we weren't going to have you there for a little bit. We got a little nervous. Unfortunately, I broke my hand a couple of days ago. And we were waiting for the update and the information from Denise, and I got it, but it was put in a spam folder, so I couldn't find it. And she thought because I didn't put her up, I didn't love her anymore. And, but we've kissed and made up, and she's here with us tonight, thank God. So I appreciate you coming on and be with us, Denise. So you had you were how old when you were shot?
I was 17, and boy, I sure never imagined that I would be on a paranormal show at 56.
Well, you know what? Neither do Tim and I every week. But here we are. So
yeah, you know, it's the craziest thing because my parents were scientists. So my mother was Native American, but she was also a chemist. So I just wanted to be a scientist, and my brothers and sister went on to become scientists. But I had an experience that really dramatically changed the course of my life. And what that was is I lived in Ohio and Midwest. And
that is kind of a paranormal experience.
Well, it was. I mean, we were in this little farming community, and there was nothing paranormal. I mean, no one even heard of yoga back then. But I had a little motorbike, and I went out one summer afternoon, and what I didn't know was that there was a man who was following me in a car, and he had evidently killed several other women.
Oh, good grief.
And he rammed into my car, my little motorbike, and then I couldn't believe it, because it was obvious he'd done it on purpose. And I watched, and he turned around. I thought, well, he's coming back to help me, because I was pretty badly injured.
Right.
But instead, he rolled down the window, and he pulled out a gun, and he shot me.
Oh, geez.
And, yeah, kind of put a big crease in my day. And to make matters even worse.
Did you hear that, Tim? Put about a little crease in her day. I fell down and broke my hand. That put a crease in my day. You were shot, Denise.
I know. That's, well, I can laugh.
That's more like
it.
A deep wrinkle, I think.
Yeah,
yes.
It was a very deep wrinkle. But just to make a long story short, as a result of that, when I was in the hospital, there was a period where they thought I died. And in that moment, I had what's now called a near-death experience. I had never heard of near-death experience. In fact, I was probably an atheist because my parents were atheists, and I just thought, that's it. You're dead, you're dead. But it was so real and so vivid that, I mean, it was like, and you've probably had people on who have had near-death experiences, and I'm sure your listeners are familiar with that idea, but
right.
it was so light and so beautiful, and there was a sense of just infinite love, and it was familiar. That was home. I was so happy I was home, and there was this river, and I knew if I could get across the river, I was never going to return to my body, and I was glad. But suddenly, and this, you'll hear this from everyone, suddenly
right.
there was the voice, and the voice said, it's not your time.
I always wondered what happened to the people that said, I don't care, I'm staying anyway. Is there anybody that ever did that?
Well, I said it, but I really didn't have a choice.
Oh, really? You know, were pushed back?
Yeah, well, it was. I felt like I'd gotten a rope. Now, my Cherokee side, my Indian family, side of my family, my relatives were into, you know, the rodeo. So I got, as a kid, got to be the pretend, like, horse or something, and they'd practice roping me, or the cow. So I felt like I'd gotten a rope. Now, people say that was my astral cord.
Right.
But I got yanked back. So I was definitely not wanting to come back, but I got yanked back, and the body I got yanked back into was really damaged. I lost a kidney. I lost my spleen. I lost an adrenaline gland. I have a hole through my spine to this day. I have a 6-inch tube replacing the aorta. I lost a good part of my lung, part of my stomach, part of my intestines. They said there's no way she's going to live.
All right, show off. Just because I broke my wrist, you got to go and show me up. I see how you are.
Hey, I twisted my ankle this week, and you can't believe what a baby I've been. I'm like, what is it? What is it? Maybe it's cancer. Maybe. I'm like, where are those thoughts coming from? You twisted your ankle. That's
yes.
all. No, I'm a big baby. And I hear I'm getting so long-winded. But
no, that's fine.
What happened on the other side is it definitely dramatically changed the way I saw the world. And as I'm sure you've had other guests on, and they talk about kind of the insights that you get. And it's not like new insights. You're there, and it's like, it's kind of like remembering. So I healed really quickly. No one could believe that I even lived, and then they couldn't believe I healed. But it really changed the whole view I had of the world. And one of the things that changed was this idea of reincarnation. I know that's what we're talking about tonight. But on that other side, I knew life wasn't a one-shot deal. I knew that we had this opportunity again and again. And that doesn't mean that, you know, my truth is everyone's truth,
right.
But this is my experience, and I think you know everyone has to kind of find their own truth and then live that truth. So that's how my truth came into being.
Well, maybe you could answer it. We've got a question from one of our listeners right now on the boards, and they wanted to know, do you believe that everyone is reincarnated, or does it just happen to different or specific people?
I believe everybody's reincarnated.
Okay.
And then usually the follow-on question is, well, if there's more people now than there were then, how does this work? I don't know if they have a second part to that question.
Nope, just wanted to know, you know, if it happens to different people, or
yeah.
Is it just to them? So.
And you know, there are some cultures where they believe that sometimes people have the opportunity to incarnate as an animal, and I would tend to not agree with that. Except, can I have a moment to tell you an experience I had?
No, what do you think? We got a radio show here?
Yeah,
go ahead.
I don't know if you had a break coming up or not. Well,
no, go ahead.
I lived in it. One of the things I did is I moved into a Zen Buddhist monastery when I was very young.
Okay.
And because I just felt like I have to get back to that place of light. And I read about, you know, Zen Buddhism, if you sit long enough and hard enough, you get to go to the light. Because I thought, I've got to get back there because I was so homesick. Well, in this Zen, and Zen is hard. I mean, sometimes I'd sit 16 hours a day. It's hard. But in this Zen Buddhist monastery, there was this guy named Chuck. And Chuck had a really hard time, and Chuck killed himself. That was definitely a huge crease in his day.
Right.
But after Chuck died, I had a cat. And the cat was a white cat and had six white kittens. One of the kittens had a green eye and a blue eye. Well, Chuck had a green eye and a blue eye, so, like, big deal, you know,
right.
A coincidence. But this kitten got up on the roof and fell off and hurt its leg, and it walked with a limp. Well, Chuck walked with a limp. Still, you know, coincidence. But what was amazing is the cats weren't allowed to come inside. And when there's, they don't call it meditation, they call it sitting. When it's time for a sitting, they hit a gong, and the gong tells you, you better get your butt down here and start sitting. And it's kind of holier than that. But what happened is every time that gong was hit, only that cat would come, and it would sit outside the Zendo. That's kind of the Zen monastery is called a Zendo, the Zendo door, and it would sit there absolutely still. So we just started calling that cat Chucky. So I think that you can even have had lives as animals, and I don't know that that's common, but certainly in India they believe that.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm glad that that's where your story ended, because if you said that, you know, the cat began licking himself and Chuck used to, we were going to have to end your interview right there. I do have another question here from Dogs with Wings 82 on our boards would like to know, if reincarnation exists, how do people see their loved ones as ghosts or in out-of-body experiences? If the souls of those loved ones have moved into another form, how does their past form still exist in the spirit world?
Well, first of all, I don't know that everyone incarnates immediately. Sometimes people will have a long time and that the resting point between lives, and sometimes people come back right away. And I've had so many people in my seminars, because I do group regressions, who come and they say that, I'll give you an example. One woman had had an illicit love affair with, because I don't think I've made a whole lot of sense so far, with this gentleman. And so in this past life regression, she had one of my seminars. This was in Australia. And it was so real. She could remember where this man lived, and she remembered this man was married, and she knew that he had kept her letters in his desk drawer. So after the seminar, she went to that house, and this old man was there. And it was the same guy that she'd seen, but older. And so she started talking to him, and in the course of it, she said, I'm whatever her name was. And she said, and I can prove it because I know where those letters are. They went into the house, and the letters were still there in this fake bottom in the drawer.
Wow.
So I've had so many experiences like that. And again, how do you explain that? There's that scientific, being raised with scientists, there's a part of me that's always like, I'm just a natural-born skeptic, and I'm always looking for some reason why. And a lot of things can be coincidence. You know, you tend to see what you're looking for. But some things I just can't explain.
Well, I often wonder, you know, with people that have had vivid reincarnation, you know, dreams or images, and they can walk you down the streets and you know, introduce you to Pablo the baker that they used to know
right,
when
right.
they were alive and all this stuff. If we're all truly, in fact, nothing more than energy, right, and there's always a constant flow and exchange of energy going on,
mm-hmm.
couldn't we, in a sense, be like a radio where some of us are just more attuned to some frequencies. Maybe I wasn't reincarnated from Spartacus, you know. Maybe I, you know, but my frequency and his moved in a very similar pattern, so I can pick up on his vibration and almost sense his life like mine. So it's like I'm a radio trans, you know, like I'm picking up his signal and excusing it from me. And that might explain why so many people think they were once Lincoln or Jesus or...
Absolutely. Or, you know, if you watch a television and you're watching this show, you know, we're scared. We see the victim. Someone's going to hurt the victim, and we get scared. Well, why is that except that we identify when we're watching television?
Right.
We identify with that person so much that we feel their fear. So it certainly could be true that there's like these radio signals of very powerful people, like you talked about Jesus, and that people identify so much with that they feel like they were there or maybe they were this famous person. But you know what's interesting is I've kind of slowed down my travel a little bit, but when I was on the road teaching a lot of different countries, I tended to work with about 2,000 people a month. And I did this for, I don't know, 15 years maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I maybe ran across 3 famous people, and most of those were past life regressions. So if you look at 2,000 people a month, most people, you know, for 15 years, and I only run across like 3, maybe 4 famous people.
But did you feel that they really were the famous person, or do you think maybe they were just more identifying?
You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think in a couple cases it felt like more of an identification. But there was one woman that's like, yeah, you know, maybe. But, you know, when I do past life regressions, I'm really not so concerned whether it's real or not, because ultimately how can we prove it?
Right.
We can't, but I really look at how does this make a difference in someone's life.
I understand that part of it, but I mean, you can also, I'm sure that you've come into contact with people that are slightly off center doing this as well. And you know, were they really General MacArthur, you know?
Yeah, and you know, honestly, I don't care. I have had people actually come to my seminars, go into regression, and then do research and find out. You know, most people you can't find out. You know, there's no records. But go back and find out there was someone with that name, and they did have that life. And I think it's cool because it makes me look good. But honestly, I don't really care. What I care about is that as a result of looking at that life, does it help you understand your present life? Does it help you become a better person? Are you more loving to your family? You know, often when we understand why someone acts the way they act, we have more compassion for them, and it's the same way with past lives. So if you can see why that person acted that way based on who they were in the past, and you have more compassion, it makes your life better.
Well, let's take one more quick question from my board people right now before we go to a quick break. Both Rowdy and Stewie from our boards would like to know, is there a set amount of times you can be reincarnated, or is it you just keep coming back till you've done it right?
You know, various religions and spiritual traditions talk about various numbers, and I honestly don't know. I think you come back as many times as you need to in this dimension, in this incarnation, but I don't think that the earth is the only plane. I think there's a multitude of dimensions that we can experience. But you know, I don't know. I will tell you, some traditions will say 9 times, some say 12, some say, you know, hundreds of thousands. I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did.
Well, hopefully next time I have better footing so that I'm not falling down stairs all the time. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, and our guest this evening is Denise Lynn, talking about past lives and reincarnation. We'll be back and talk more with Denise right after this.
The New York Times has raved about the show. The Star Tribune says it's paranormally funny. And the Biscayne Bugle said, how could they put this crap on the air and live with themselves?
I am so sorry for everything that has happened. Because in spite of what Mike says now, it is my fault. Because it was my project. Everything had to be my way. And this is where we've ended up.
Stay tuned. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena,
ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You may have been to the Stanley Hotel before. You may have even taken the ghost tour offered at that famous hotel in Estes Park. But have you ever truly investigated the paranormal there before? Wouldn't you like to have the opportunity to do so with Sci-Fi TV's Ghost Hunters, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson? Well, now you can. Join us for our paranormal retreat April 1st through the 4th at the historic Stanley Hotel. To find out more about this great adventure, visit darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Hurry, spots are limited and they will fill quickly. That's darknessevents.com.
This show is so frightening, it'll scare the pants off you.
Beat it.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
On second thought, maybe you should just keep them on.
You'd be amazed how often I hear that.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Tim Dennis and Dave Schrader.
Tim. Well, welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. As you just heard, my lovable and adorable co-host and producer, Tim Dennis, is here as well. Our guest this evening is lovely Denise Lynn. And Denise, as we said at the beginning of the show, has been called America's best kept secret. She's a healer. She's a teacher. She's a joker, a smoker, a midnight toker. She's here to share with us her views on reincarnation. And, you know, you brought up some interesting questions in the blurb that you sent me as well, saying that a vow of poverty in a past life could mean a lack of abundance in your present life, or that abuse of power in a past life can mean an inability to succeed now. Now, that's pretty strong stuff. So we do carry our past life stuff with us?
Well, we do, and I think it's perfect we don't remember, because, you know, you would not remember that that woman you're in bed with every night, you know, your wife was, you know, your horrible boss in another life, or whatever the relationship was.
Oh, trust me.
Was, or your
I know she's my horrible boss in my past life.
You know, so I think it's good we come in with a semi-clean slate. But as we go along, those old issues that did not get resolved in one life, sure enough, they will come back to haunt us, as it were. Oh, speaking of haunting, I wondered, one of the listeners earlier had called in about ghosts. Ghosts are not past lives. Ghost is someone, I'm sure you've talked about this a lot, it's someone who's lost their body and they just don't know they're dead. It's a lot different than someone who's incarnated, so I just wanted to mention that. But okay. these I don't know, these kind of blockages or limitations we cart around with us, they just keep coming back again and again and again. And sometimes it's like dandelions. You know, you mow them over and they pop up, and you mow them over and they pop up. People who have tried everything to overcome some kind of problem will often find value in going back into early childhood. But even people who can't get results doing early childhood therapy find that by going back into a past life, it's like pulling that dandelions up from the roots, and they can see the source and they can fix it or heal it. And consequently, their present life is much stronger.
Well, Kendra from our boards wants to know, do you believe that habits and fears translate from life to life?
Really often. Now, sometimes, as I said, sometimes those fears can come from something in early childhood that you just don't remember, but it still exists in your subconscious. But very, very often, those fears do come from past lives. And when you go back and not just experience it, but rework it, we tend to think that, you know, the future is malleable. We can change the future, but the past, it's set. But in the inner realms, the past and the present and the future are all malleable. And even if someone doesn't believe that they don't, you know, believe that you can change time. And incidentally, it's interesting. about time. The further away you get from the gravitational pull, the longer time is. So time isn't a limited, specific little chunk. You know, it is malleable. But even if someone doesn't believe they can go back into the past and change it, the past dwells in your mind. So when you can change that memory, and I actually believe you can change the past, you can change that habit or that fear or that pattern. And I've seen it literally thousands of times. It really does work.
Let's go back real quick, Denise. Now, you just said something that's really interesting to me. Not that the rest hasn't been. Finally, she said something interesting, Tim. No, you just said that you believe.
I have to say, you guys are great.
Well, thank you.
I'm so sorry. I've never heard your show before. And I am definitely going to listen because.
That's okay, Denise.
You're
nobody
fun.
Listens. We don't even. All these listeners I keep asking questions are not real. Tim and I just. We're sitting in our mom's basement in a cardboard box with toilet scrubbers as microphones. So. what. How can we change the past?
Okay. Let me give you, this is an amazing example, and this happened in Australia. I guess I did a lot of work in Australia, but this story still just blows my mind. A woman came to my seminar, and in that, the past life, you know, she regressed. Incidentally, if anyone wants to, I'm doing a big Hay House event in Las Vegas, of all places, in May, and I'm doing a one-day regression where people can, you know, be regressed back to their past life, so it's kind of fun. But in this past life, she went back, and she saw herself in a Native American, I think it might have been South American, but it was a Native American, and she had a son in that life, got separated from the tribe, and these, enemies came, and she knew they were going to do something horrible to her son. So rather than let her son, who was young in that life, be captured by these enemies, she took whatever she was digging in the earth with a knife or a sharp stick, and she stabbed her son in the throat to kill him. And
yikes. Okay.
I mean, and she was really horrified. And what I tell everybody is, I say, if you see something traumatic, you change it. So she instantly made sure that they got back to the tribe before the enemies came out. And I have people really reinforce that seeing it change. Now that just sounds like, well, so what? She saw this, and then she changed it. But the amazing thing was, because when we change things, it has a positive effect on other people as well. And her son in this life had never spoken a word. And he was about 7 years old, and he was staying with her mother. In that exact moment when she had stabbed him in the throat,
right.
And he had actually screamed, and then his scream was halted when she stabbed him. He let out a blood-curdling scream, and her mother ran into the other room, and from that point forward, he spoke. Now, how do you explain that? He had no idea what his mom was doing. His mom had no idea she was going to have that experience. But over and over again, when people go back, not only can it impact their life in a positive way, that somehow, I think because of the connection that we have with other people, that it tends to empower other people as well.
All right, but now did people remember that this kid couldn't speak for a long time? Or
No, in her present life, her son, he was 7 years old, he'd never spoken. He was
But I'm wondering if it snapped the timeline, so now he had been talking since he was two. She just had the memory of it.
Oh, you know, good. See, I don't know how it works. That sounds really good. I just know it works.
Okay.
But that makes perfect sense. I don't know. I just know when people go back and experience who they were, and if there's anything that they did that they felt guilty about, to heal it or change it or shift it or forgive it or forgive the other person, that it has a powerful effect on this life. And like I said, vows of poverty in a past life can mean you're broke in this life, because the vows that we take, the marriage vows, the priestly vows, all of those vows, I mean, when you give your word, that's powerful, and that can go lifetime after lifetime.
Wow. So could that be the reason that marriages fail? I married Tim in my last life, and I'm still committed to him, and that's why the marriages that I've been in this life haven't been so good?
It absolutely can. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of reasons why marriage fails, and that could be one reason. But I do know if you give your vow, give your word, you make a commitment, and then you don't consciously remake that commitment kind of lives inside of you. You know, I've been married for 33 years now, and the only vow we took, because I was kind of aware of this vow thing,
right,
is we made the vow of as long as it's good. Okay. I promise to be married to you as long as it's good. And he said, I promise to be married to you as long as it's good.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, because, yeah, I mean, you would think that if that is the fact, then that might be why Tim and I are partners in business now and friends now on a different level, right? Because if we were committed to each other, and this is getting really icky feeling, but anyway, if we were committed to each other in a past life and we're here now, I mean, that could be part of it.
Yeah. Okay. Or it could be, I mean, you're influencing and touching a whole lot of people, and it could be that you'd made a commitment in another life where you just said, you know, or maybe even in the spirit world, the world's going to be a very tremulous time, and, you know, after the turn of the century, let's go down and see what we can do to make a difference. And maybe you high-fived each other in the spirit world, and here you are.
Well, that's true. Now, we have some other questions here. Uh-huh. Let me see if I can get through this one from Tanner. Part of the question I think you'd already asked before was going through reincarnation, not necessarily a set amount of times, but is there any kind of possible vibe or progression that what you reincarnate into, such as your ethnicity or age or gender? And they were told once that by someone that his mom or their mom spoke to in a past life that he was a carpenter working on the Tita. I'm not sure what that is, but he went from a middle-aged Scottish carpenter to living in the U.S. this time. Do you believe that there's a certain vibe or progression that you follow?
Well, I think there's affinities. You know, you'll have an affinity for a particular profession, and you know, maybe you'll be a piano maker in one life and a musician in the next. But also, there tends to be groups of people that will incarnate together, kind of soul groups. And I call them soulmates. Most people think of soulmates as your one true love, and I don't know that we have one true love.
Right.
But I do believe that there are groups of people that we are very connected to, and we will keep incarnating with them over and over again. And it's just, the person who is your dear friend in one life may be your enemy in the next, and you think, how could that happen?
Well, Shay brings up a good question on the boards, too, with that in mind. She says, so if you're reincarnated with the same people in your life, what if you really hate someone? Can you choose to reincarnate away from them in your next life?
If you want to make sure that you're going to reincarnate with someone, hate them, because that is for sure you will end up with them again.
Oh, really? Why, karmic deal so that you can meet? Speak right, Dave. Me, no, speak right now. It would be... It's the painkillers or lack thereof.
Oh, God, I feel so bad for you.
If you hate them in this life, is it kind of a karma thing that you come back to next life to maybe try to work through that hatred?
Right,
and anger?
Absolutely. Okay. And, you know, I look at it like this. You're in the spirit world. You look down at your incarnations, and you realize, you know, to be a full-rounded soul, I need to learn some humility. So you realize, you know, the Dalai Lama says you don't learn humility by yourself. So you look around and you find this soul and say, will you incarnate with me to teach me humility? And the soul's like, no way. I'm not going to mess up my incarnation. But finally you see Joe, and Joe is your soulmate forever. And you're saying, Joe, please, please incarnate with me. I need someone to teach me humility. And Joe goes, only because I love you will I do this for you. Only because I care for you. And so you jump out of the clouds, I'm being metaphorical here, into the baby body. He jumps out of the clouds into the baby body, and you get bigger, he gets bigger, and he becomes your boss. And you hate your boss.
Right.
But what happens is along the way, you learn humility, and you forget who set it up in the first place. So if you really do not want to incarnate with someone, again, get to the place where you can take or leave that person.
Okay.
You know, where sure. You're neutral, because if you're not neutral, you'll end up with them again.
No. Good. Now, that's a really helpful tip for going into the next life. I appreciate that. You know, Belle is asking on the boards, does your basic body type, size of butt, and so on for the same go for each life? Do you seem to reincarnate? Have you found, you know, if I was, a tubby bald guy in my last life, is that why I'm back as a tubby bald guy this guy?
You know, actually, I haven't had that. At the beginning, when I regress people... the very first thing I do is have them look at their feet and just kind of be aware of where they're standing, what they're standing on, what's on their feet, and then be aware of their body type. And people their body types change, their race changes, their sex changes. But I have found something interesting, though, is sometimes there tends to be a correlation with your ancestry. Like people who have ancestry of you know, Scotland, for example, it's not uncommon for them to come up with the Scottish life. And I don't know if that's because they're more attuned to that, so they're going to, you know, it's what you look for is often what you find, or whether there is some correlation with ancestry and past lives.
Okay. Amy wants to know, do you believe that we get to choose the direct life after this? Is it more of a conscious decision in that afterlife, or is it kind of a cosmic pinball machine where we're bounced into, you know, life after life and we have to learn? I mean, there are some people that they believe, I think it's called soul contracts, and we had somebody on a couple weeks ago, that they believe, you know, I chose to be the son of a, you know, alcoholic dad, or I chose to be the, you know, an abused child this time. You know, I mean, do you believe that, those choices go on, or do you believe that it's, it's kind of, you just kind of get bounced from life to life?
Well, I do think there is an element of choice, and even if there's not, it is valuable to believe or think that you chose your life, because it puts you out of being a victim. And when you're a victim in life, it makes everything really hard. So, you know, I had a really rough childhood, and getting shot actually was the least of my challenges. I mean, I had a mother who was in and out of mental hospitals, who was physically violent, and a father who was sexually abusive. I mean, I had one of those very typical dysfunctional childhoods. But for me, it really helped to believe that I chose it. And I'm like, I chose this? Was I crazy? But it put me more in the place of not being the victim, because I was easy for me to be a victim, and I felt like I was a victim. So I do think there's probably a little of both. But, you know, when I was on the other side, I knew that we're not alone. I knew that, you know, call it the creator or God or goddess, or, you know, my Cherokee ancestors said Galon Laté, the great, you know, the great mystery, that there is something, and that something is impacting our lives. God is impacting our lives in every moment. And so, although on one level I do think that we are consciously choosing that next life, on the other hand, there are forces of the universe that are at play and propelling us towards our destiny.
All right. Well, you know, that's a good breaking point. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with you, Denise. We'll take more of your questions. Thank you very much for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show this evening. We'll be back with our guest, Denise Lynn, right after this.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Hi, this is Russ Clark. If you're a regular listener of Darkness Radio, by now you have certainly heard my radio commercial regarding my hypnosis products. Well, I'm here today to tell you that these products work. These products have worked for many, many people, including some listeners of Darkness Radio. I stand behind my product 100%. If you give it a try and you find it doesn't work for you, you can always return it to me for 100% of your money back. Plus, I'll pay to ship it back to me. That's how convinced I am this will work for you. In addition to that, you can contact me via email anytime with any questions that you may have. I promise this will work for you. So if you want to quit smoking, lose weight, become less stressed, manage some pain, or beat some insomnia, definitely check out my website at www.powerhypnosis.net or call 866-570-3544 and ask for me personally.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pipp at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6, 2, and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resorts are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
George Clooney, Carmen Diaz, Oprah, Ellen, George Bush, Diane Pelosi.
What are you doing?
I'm making a list of people I want to tell about charity checks.
Do you know any of those people?
No, but if I can get to them, they might want to tell the public how cool it is to use giving certificates as presents instead of gift certificates.
Giving certificates?
Yeah, you know, they can be used as a donation to any legitimate charity. So the person who gives a charity check gets the tax deduction, and the person who gets one decides where the money goes.
Why don't you just tell people directly about charity checks yourself?
Like anyone would listen to me.
www.charitychecks.us for information about the perfect present.
Well, no, they're not going to listen to you like that. But if you just said that charity checks provides a unique way to turn your gift money into giving money, they might pay attention.
Catchy.
Then you just casually say the web address, charitychecks.us, America's Giving Certificates.
I still think a celebrity endorsement would be more effective.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
You may have been to the Stanley Hotel before. You may have even taken the ghost tour offered at that famous hotel in Estes Park. But have you ever truly investigated the paranormal there before? Wouldn't you like to have the opportunity to do so with Sci-Fi TV's Ghost Hunters, Jason Hawes and Grant Wilson? Well, now you can. Join us for our paranormal retreat April 1st through the 4th at the historic Stanley Hotel. To find out more about this great adventure, visit darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. Hurry, spots are limited and they will fill quickly. That's darknessevents.com.
Two ghosts walk into a bar and see another ghost at the bar point at them and yell, "Boo!" One of the ghosts yells back, "Boo-hoo!" And the ghost at the bar yells back, "Well, you don't have to cry about it." Ah, hell, you try writing this.
You magnificent bastard! I salute you!
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Our guest this evening is Denise Lynn, and we're talking about reincarnation. We're taking your questions, and, you know, I got a couple of really interesting questions that popped up here. Let me hit you with this one, Denise. How do you believe serial killers and mass murderers are reborn? Do they keep their homicidal tendencies in their reborn lives?
You know, I've never done a regression with someone who came up with a life as a serial killer, and I wouldn't think that someone on the other side would go, "Hey, I think I'm going to incarnate as a serial killer." The only thing that occurs to me is that, do you know how I talked about making a contract?
Right.
And it could be that someone is making a contract and saying, "Listen, I do not want to be a serial killer, but I can see that by moving into this arena that perhaps there's some value for someone." You know, there's a lot that I don't know all the answers to. And there's things, like, I think about in Nazi Germany, and I think about the Holocaust.
Right.
And I think about, I can't imagine that those people, you know, thought, okay, I'm going to go down and be killed with millions of people. I don't understand that. I don't understand serial killers. I do know that when people go back into their past lives, they can heal, you know, weight problems, health problems, abundance problems, relationship problems. And I do know that when people victimize us, like when I look at the guy who killed, funny, I said killed me, because I did die for a little bit when he shot me. You know, I'm thinking, why would I have said, you know, why don't you come down, kill some people, and then shoot me? You know, but I actually...
Now, that's a hell of a friend. Well, yeah. All right.
But, you know, I went back because I wanted to see what that karmic connection was.
Right.
And I went back to a past life where, in China, actually, where I was very unkind to him, but it wasn't a big deal to me, but it was a huge deal to him. Now, in this life, honestly, I don't think him shooting me was a big deal to him, but it was obviously a huge big deal to me. So I gained a lot. I mean, I gained a lot more than what I lost. And if someone said, you can have all your organs back, but you will lose everything you gained, I would say, keep my organs. I do not want to lose what I gained. So,
besides, now you got all these cool bionic organs.
Yeah, well, at least a plastic tube. Like, I got this, like, plastic tube instead of aorta.
You're not like the $6 million woman. You're like a $2.96 rubber hose woman. Is that it?
That's okay. It. God bless that rubber hose.
Well, you know, we all have our places. He wants to know, Rowdy wants to know, do you think possibly those people then come back as victims in the next time? How about Hitler? You think Hitler made a return visit as maybe having, you know, been a black man in the 50s or in the early 60s during the race riots?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I do know that when someone has been extraordinarily cruel in a past life, such as, you know, I was in that Chinese life, it's not uncommon to come back and be the victim of a similar kind of cruelty. I don't think it's God, you know, this vengeful God saying, you need to pay, you made someone suffer, they had to pay. I think it's almost like gaining compassion. Do you know how you don't have compassion for someone until you've actually walked in their shoes?
Right.
And so I tend to think there's more of a kind of walking in the other person's shoes, and it's almost like what I call kind of instant karma. You know how you lie to someone and you walk on a wall? I don't think, you know, the Creator is saying, oh, I'm going to punish you for lying. I think we have this own, an internal set of checks and balances, and we're always kind of trying to balance things out.
Sure. Now, I've got last one we'll take from the listeners here. They'd like to know, do you believe we can find our true love from lifetime to lifetime? I know you said that you don't believe that there's maybe just one.
Well, I do think there are people that we are very, very connected to. And I call them love mates rather than soulmates, because I think soulmates was kind of that, you know, there's a lot of our soulmates, people we've been with before. But there are certainly people that have, it's almost like when they meet, it's almost like meeting themselves. And the challenge with these love mate relationships is, unless someone's done a lot of work on themselves, I mean, imagine what it'd be like living with yourself. It's kind of like that in the beginning, and they often don't last. There's this electricity, and there's this deep connection. But unless someone has really kind of taken off the sharp edges, the relationships don't last. But if you've done that, there is nothing as satisfying as finding that love mate, that person who you feel like you're home when you're with them.
Okay. What would you like to share with people? We've got about 5 minutes left. What would you really like your point to be to people to help them out? What can we get from Denise Lynn that to really open up eyes?
Well, having gone through a long journey, a long inner journey towards, and I'm, you know, still on the journey of emotional healing and physical healing, the one thing that has been the most powerful for me is the expression, the soul loves the truth. And to the extent that I can kind of go inside of myself and find out what is the truth for me, what am I feeling now, what is real for me in this moment, what is my truth now, that has been so helpful in terms of allowing me to feel healthy and strong and balanced. And it's not always easy, because sometimes we don't want to admit that, you know, we're in an unhappy relationship or an unhappy job, but to the extent that you can tell the truth to yourself, I think to the extent that you can feel joy.
All right. Yeah, make the best of your life this time around, huh? So you don't have to keep...
I could have just said that. Why didn't I say that? That was good, Dave. That was really
I like to encapsulate, Denise. It's just that's what I do. I've got six kids. I don't have a whole lot of time to describe stuff, so I got to
Yeah, that was really good. God, I wish I would have said that.
That's okay. I'll tell everybody that came from you earlier, all right? Well, nobody will know. Well, I appreciate you joining us here. And again, people can find you and your courses and things like that by going directly to your website at deniselinn.com, right? That's deniselinn.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you offer courses on?
I train people to be professional soul coaches, and I also train people to do past life regressions, but I also do group regressions as well, like the one I'm doing through Hay House. And the Hay House conference should be great. They have... And Wayne Dyer's there, and Marion Williamson's there, and they have Brian Weiss, who's a really well-known reincarnationalist himself, is there. So they're fabulous events. So I'll be doing a one-day course to regress people there. And also on iTunes, I have guided past life meditations that people can purchase, and those are really good, too. I get a lot of good feedback about those. So thank you for allowing me on your show and for allowing me to speak my truth, as it were.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and hopefully we can have you on in the future as you get more going on and more of your cases, because I'd like to talk to you about these large group regressions. Now, I got to call you on that. You said that you're one of the only people to regress over 1,000 people at one point. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever been to a car show, but there's 10,000 men regress to the age of 10 every time we walk in there. So I can't say you're the biggest.
I would love to talk to you about that, because it's fascinating where people sit. They will sit next to people they've been in their past life. They won't talk to each other. They'll do the regression, and they will find out that they got the exact same life but two different roles, like a mother and a son in the same life. It's amazing. It's wow. Really, I love that.
And it's not looked as a form of hypnosis, huh?
Well, it is a form of deep relaxation.
Okay. Well, I mean like a group hypnosis that people maybe are clinging to something.
Well, it's beyond that, because there'll be like one tiny group in the back will be, they all would have been East Indians, and another tiny group. Okay, one time there was this group, and there were these five women together, and they all, now I hadn't mentioned pilgrims, and this is out of, you know, several hundred people, and they were all pilgrims, American pilgrims, and one woman said, I was the older sister, and I was supposed to get married first, and there were these other my sisters got married before I did. Oops, does that mean we got to go?
That's okay. We got about 10 seconds here for you. Go ahead.
And the other women said, I was pilgrims and I got married. And I mean, and they got mad at each other and had to break it up. And they'd never met each other before. It's like they were gotten tangled. Anyway,
sibling rivalry takes you even into the next life, huh?
Okay.
Great. Well, thank you, Denise. Have a great night. And thank you all for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We're going to continue our discussion on reincarnation with our next guest, J. Allen Danilek. He'll be here talking about the mysteries of reincarnation with us. We'll be looking at another scientific approach. Thank you very much for tuning in. Stay with us. We'll be back right after the top of the hour.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No